folks, and welcome to the Is It Over Yet Wrestling Podcast with me, Dan Cooper, and this guy, Sam Whaley. How you doing, man?
I'm absolutely splendiferous, thank you very much. How are you?
That's a good word. I like that word, man. Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. I've been super busy this week, but not too busy to catch a bit of wrestling and enjoy that. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. We should probably just get on with World of Trios.
Yeah, we'll let's do what people want to hear.
World of Trios. All right, folks, and welcome to World of Trios, brought to you by Win Column Sports Network, as always. We're going to talk about this week in wrestling, first of all. And I think the first thing I want to address is something we've been talking about for a few weeks now, but it's just been bubbling and bubbling. It's the Shield versus the Heels, and the Heels are Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler, as well as what Braun called them on Monday Night Raw this week, his pack. So I'm guessing he's recruiting all of those heels from the locker room. Now, I can't help but feel like this has got the makings of a real classic feud. How do you feel about this one, Sam?
Do you know what I really love about this whole thing? I really love the fact that the heels is everyone. It's all the heels on the roster. I really, yes. Really like this. And it's like the Shield against the world, isn't it? It's a great setup.
Yes. Well, how else were they going to position the Shield? And more than just the Shield, Roman Reigns, these kind of Avengers of Justice and mega faces, then have them, you know, take on absolutely everybody that comes their way. And that's not just everyone that comes their way, but it's kind of everyone that wants rid of them. And they've positioned all of the heels, including Braun, Drew, and Dolph, as those guys. And it's just great to see Braun Strowman leading this pack. He's really come into his own, and he already had come into his own, but he's really come into his own as this leader of all these men, as almost like an army, to kind of stop the Shield and stop Roman Reigns from being the champion. I think it's cool, man. And I can't help but feel like this is actually working, because it's working on me. Is it working on you?
It's working on me as well. I think anything is better than hearing Michael Cole say Monster in the Bank 28,000 times per episode.
Oh, the big dog, over and over again.
Yeah. Do you know what, right? I recently watched a film that I'm sure a lot of people have already watched, and it's called The Justice League.
Okay, I have not seen that one. Any good?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant, and it reminds me of exactly what's going on here. So you've got The Justice League, which is the Shield, against millions and millions and millions of evil alien invaders, which is the heels.
Okay. I feel that's a good analogy, man. And I feel like this is fairly unique in the way it's been done. I mean, I know that we've seen a lot of heels against maybe one guy before, you know, like try and stop one guy. But the Shield is a unique stable in itself, I feel. And I feel like when it comes back together, because they really misfired last time, they had to recruit Kurt Angle. But when they come back together like they are, it feels like the old days. They've even got the old theme. Roman's got his old tank top type thing on. You know, it's been a real throwback for me. It's made me reinvest in the man known as Roman Reigns when I thought that all hope was gone. So I don't know. I don't know where this goes. Obviously, it's not going to conclude at Hell in a Cell. I feel like it's going to carry on. But it's been very satisfying wrestling. It's been very satisfying entertainment, which is what I look to Raw for. Yeah, I look to SmackDown and NXT for wrestling, but Raw, I want to be entertained. And
think they've got the I think they've got the main storyline on Raw right. I think it's the only thing that's I hate to be a stick in the mud, but it's the only thing on Raw that's worth watching at the minute. But it's worth watching Raw for.
Yeah. And I feel like something else that's important is what was missing from wrestling for quite a few years is that seamless storytelling. So this story weaves in and out of everything else. They're backstage, they're addressing it, they're coming out more than once in the night. It's not just put away in one promo at the beginning. It's smart story writing.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying it. So so thank you, WWE, for making some sensible
I actually
sensible
quite
story.
Liked what they did this week on Raw as well, because they had sort of kept Roman from you until right at the end. And it's really clever booking, because it leaves you wanting Roman Reigns, which we've spoke about this before. It's a rare
unfathomable
feeling.
Yeah. So So hell yeah, I'm liking how that's going. I'm proud of you, WB. I'm proud of you. Thank you. But yeah, that's cool. The next thing I want to talk about is also a Raw thing. So Raw's got a bit of a monopoly this week. And it kind of revolves around stuff that's happened last week as well. It's the whole Undertaker Triple H setup for this Super Showdown, which I thought was just going to be another giant house show. I thought it was just going to be, you know, like the Saudi Arabia thing where nothing really meant anything, but you were in it for the spectacle. But they seem to really be putting a lot of emphasis on this match, which I didn't think had happened. I thought we'd seen the last of Undertaker versus Triple H. I thought we'd seen the last of Shawn Michaels as kind of like anything active in front of the camera. But it doesn't look like it. And we got some really impassioned promos from all three guys for the past 3 weeks. What have you been thinking about these?
Yeah, I've really, really enjoyed this. And I think that the old pros have come out and sort of set the bar to show the young blood how it's done, really. It's classic, isn't it? It's classic. But you've got to feel like Triple H and The Undertaker especially have been given free rein on what they're saying here. You can't imagine for 1 second that they've been given a script from a 22-year-old writer in the WWE office.
Can you imagine it, man? Can you imagine being like 25-year-old kind of spotty kid and walking up, oh, Mr. Undertaker, I've got something for you to say. It'd just be like, I can't even imagine it, man.
No, it wouldn't happen, would it? And it wouldn't happen with Triple H either, and it probably wouldn't happen with Shawn Michaels.
No, I think these guys are all people that have delivered enough promos that people have been invested in, and they've delivered enough emotion into their promos in the past for Vince to really trust them. And that's what we got here. We've had Shawn Michaels kind of coming out and having this fun, but then once he's confronted by the person that kind of kicked him out of the business, getting very emotional and delivering a promo like only he really can. I mean, I've never seen anyone cut a promo like Shawn Michaels when he gets that impassioned about things. I know you're not a Shawn guy, you're a Brett guy, but I don't know, you got to admit, the guy can really talk when he wants to. Triple H, go on.
It's like I was saying, it gives you the feel of what a proper promo is supposed to be like, and I'm not a Shawn Michaels guy, but watching things like this really does take you back, and it's probably something we're never going to see again in the future, not in the current climate anyway.
Strange, isn't it? Because it kind of makes you feel a bit sore about it because they're so good that you're kind of thinking, regardless of how amazing Braun Strowman is, and he really is, are we going to look back on them in the same way? I don't want to be putting things in people's minds like that anyway, because we should be, you know, we should be positive about what goes on right now. But those guys, they're pretty untouchable.
Yeah, I've got a question for you about this one. How do you think this match is going to go?
Oh, God. I just think Shawn Michaels is going to be involved. I really hope this doesn't lead to the match that everyone thinks it's going to go to with Taker versus Shawn. I don't want to see Shawn Michaels come out of retirement, man. I really don't.
No.
I see Undertaker picking up the win here because I think Triple H is already a big part of what's going on behind the scenes. I don't think he's got as much of an ego as he had and I don't think he needs it, whereas I think Taker will go away, live his life, and he'll need something to kind of, you know, to go away with. I think he picks up the win here. What about
Triple
you?
Triple H never wins, does he? Never, ever, ever wins.
Yeah, and I mean, back in the day, people used to say that guy was walking around with a shovel, right?
No, it's not true, is it? It's not true at all.
Here's my just little viewpoint on this. I think the only people that Triple H ever buried were the people that needed to be the people that weren't going to be those rising stars. I think the guy's got an eye and an ear for talent.
Triple H is very special to the business, and I know a lot of people slag him off, but come on, look what he's doing at the minute. You know,
I've got friends that hate him. Man.
He's creating things that are making it all worthwhile in the end. I feel like if everything was left up to Vince McMahon right now, I think we'd be seeing a really big shift in wrestling. I think Triple H is keeping, you know, the mainstream product alive at the minute.
You know what, man? I think you're so right. I think Triple H is someone that is more than aware of what's going around in the going on in the wrestling world. I think he's aware of stuff like All In. I think he's aware of stuff like Lucha Underground. I think if anyone is the guy that's trying to, and we're not going to dwell on this point because it will lead to tears, but if anyone's trying to bring in Pentagon and Phoenix right now, I think it's Triple H.
Yeah.
And I think Triple H would bring them in and would do good with them, but you know. Let's not get onto that sore point of what
Triple
would happen afterwards.
Triple H's definitely got his finger on the pulse.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. And like I said, I don't want this to lead to a Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker match. We've seen it. We've seen classics. I just hope this is a one-time thing. Big spectacle for Taker. Big spectacle for Australia. Mm. And we're done and dusted.
You know, I think it's, for me, this one's really hard to call. I really couldn't say who's going to win this one at all. And I know I'm going to have to speak about it soon when we go on the Over the Top Rope Super Show special, which we're doing shortly. But I think this one's going to be mainly the Battle of the Entrances.
We all know that Trips is trying to really go for it with his entrances at Mania every year. He's something else, really. And yeah, Taker's got it. You know, he's the number one entrance, so you're right. Hell yeah, man. Right, the next one, non-WWE, so it was something that caught my eye, something that you've made me aware of in the past, and I brought it right back to you, 10 pounds of gold, and this was the post-All-In show, so this focused mainly on the fact that Nick Aldis had lost his NWA title to Cody, and it was like a kind of diary entry for Nick, really, how he felt about everything. He faced off against his former friend, well, not former friend, his friend, Doug Williams, yes, with the awesome hand gesture and whatnot. They had a cool match at MediaCon in Manchester, I think it was, which Nick felt like he needed to win. And it was just all in all a really good feature that not only promoted Nick Aldis as someone that was still able to go after his loss, but it promoted the fact that there's this big NWA 70th anniversary show coming up, which you told me about, which I had no idea about. And which just seems like a really, really great idea. How do you feel about this? And did you enjoy this £10 of gold?
This episode of £10 of gold was absolutely awesome. I think this is good enough to be on TV. You know, it's more than just a YouTube series for me. I really, really, really like this. And I look forward to every single episode that comes out. I know William Patrick Corgan has a lot to do with this. And
who's that? I don't know.
You don't know William Patrick Corgan? Yeah,
I know Billy Corgan.
I think he used to be a rock star. But yeah, you know, the man's clearly a genius. Cody Rhodes is clearly a genius. And do you know what? Nick Aldis is also a genius because look at what he's done for himself by doing all this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's elevated himself. And do you know what I really love about this episode as well? The fact that he talks about TNA and he talks about how much he's changed since then to now.
Yeah.
He's sort of like trying to wipe off that stank of old school, well, not old school, but like medium, middle of the road TNA.
Yeah.
From when he was Magnus and he was the terrible, cowardly heel champion. You know, he's trying to wipe that all away and show that he's, you know, a legitimate competitor and he's earned this spot.
I think you're right, man. I think it is a proclamation, a big proclamation to call all three of these guys geniuses, but look how All In did. And it wasn't, if it wasn't for the effort of these three guys, that big match between Cody and Nick probably wouldn't have happened, or it wouldn't have stood out as much and had as much gravitas as it did.
Yeah.
But this was so much, in so many ways, it was such a fitting kind of like post All-In show, because not only did you get Cody reflecting on his thoughts, which are more than important in the situation, but it was mainly about the Nick Aldis redemption story, as we had kind of got Cody Rhodes' redemption story by winning the NWA title. So now you've got someone else to root for.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this during this episode as well, but there was a part where it was showing clips from the Nick Aldis-Doug Williams match. And he goes for the sunset flip, and Doug Williams goes for the same pin that Cody went for. And I think
really?
It's a really cool point where Nick Aldis kicks out of this, and I'm just like, he's, you know, it's showing that he's learning from the mistakes that he made the first time round against Cody, and it ain't going to happen again. It's really, really, really clever writing this.
It is, isn't it? And I'll tell you something, man. We talk about the fact that we have to sit through 3 hours, maybe 2 hours of Raw and SmackDown. There's a lot of filler. Then we go on to stuff like NXT's an hour long. You know, that's fine. I can, that's, you know, that's something you can sink your teeth into. It's just Lucha Underground. 11 minutes here, and they tell you all the story you really need to know. And you're kind of in, you know, you're all in, so to speak, after 11 minutes of all the detail you need to be invested in this match. And I think that's a great thing. It's the future of the industry.
I'm so invested in NWA right now. It's just ridiculous.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, for you to be invested in a product, for us to be invested in a product that technically really only has two wrestlers right now.
Yeah.
Not kind of overlooking people like Tim Storm and whoever else is making a show that week. But yeah, it's a two-man promotion. And that, I hope that's the way it stays. I hope that is, because Cody, you know, you saw him on here saying, "I'll go anywhere, and I'm taking my I'm taking my belt to Japan, to England, to the US."
It's actually quite funny because a shout out to Adam Rotella here with the £10 of podcast YouTube show. I actually put a question to him last week that was read out on his show, and it was actually asking, "Do you think Cody's going to be defending the belt in Japan?" Now, that question's been answered. I also asked, is he going to be defending it on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, or is that done and dusted? But no, that's also answered. Yes, he is. Cody's going to be on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So everything is being elevated. Everything. Every time that belt moves around, everything is being elevated.
That's it, man. And with the 70th anniversary show, I feel like they're highlighting the prestige of that belt even more. Which is a smart thing. I don't know where they go with that show. I don't know if it's going to be all in two, because what else can they really do under the NWA name? But I'm looking to be surprised here. I'm looking for something again, like all in, to come out of the woodwork for me to go, "Oh, cool." Wrestling is a good thing to be into right now. I can't think of anything else that's got as much variety. So thank you, £10 of gold. You're providing what we need.
You're
just
awesome.
Like the WWE. Yeah, so awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
Hell in a Cell predictions.
But folks, these are our predictions for the upcoming WWE pay-per-view Hell in a Cell. Now, not only this week am I joined by Sam as always, but this week we have the honor of being in the presence of greatness. So drumroll please. Mr. Matt Willis from the Matt Attack UK podcast is here to help us run down the card for Hell in a Cell. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Dan. And hey, Sam, nice to talk to you again, buddy.
Hey, hey.
Awesome stuff. So, are we ready to do this? Ready to run down the card?
Even you are.
I'm ready.
So the way we're going to do it is we're going to run down each match, going to get the predictions from each of us and why. So, starting with yourself, Matt. First match I've got here, Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella versus The Miz and Maryse. Who are you going for?
Miz and Maryse.
Okay, and me.
Because they've been building up Dee Bry and Brie Bella way too strong the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And where usually they've been building them up. Probably to have Maryse use brass knuckles on Brie Bella.
Yeah, I can see something, some shenanigans like that going down for sure. Definitely a good point there. They've been building those two up. What about yourself? How are you feeling on this one?
Yeah, I think the Miz and Maryse are going to win as well. And I really, really hope they do as well, because I really, really can't stand Brie Bella. I'm just hating the whole Bella's thing. I wish they'd just go away again. I've had enough already. I feel a little bit like Brie Bella is bringing Daniel Bryan down, and I don't like it.
It's a strange thing, isn't it, this Bella's resurgence, really, because maybe they're doing it for the whole evolution thing, assuming that's what they're doing. But, yeah, kind of inserting them into this whole women's thing and in this kind of main event-type match, it's a strange scenario. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it either, but
it'll be what it'll be. They don't belong there at all.
They once did. They definitely had a place in the whole kind of Divas era with the Divas Championship, you know, Michelle McCool, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're coming back as kind of, they've been positioned as veterans, which I never thought that they really, you know, they don't seem like that, do they?
It sucks when you've got Nikki Bella against Ruby Riott, and she's kicking her ass with the Rack Attack.
Can I ask you something, you two? Have you been reading my notes or something for Good Cop Bad?
No.
You two have just literally said exactly the same thing I was doing on a record last night.
Yeah, I think it's just something we've been discussing over the past few weeks, really, because it feels like a real stumbling point for WWE here in highlighting these guys so much. But I don't know. Maybe other people don't feel aware. I have no idea.
You've been booked. But...
Oh, yes. That is going to start trending like that.
Okay, so I'm going to start a bit top heavy here. I'm going to go for another match here. Roman's current champion versus Braun Strowman, with Mick Foley thrown in as a special referee, and that's in Hell in a Cell. What have you got, Matt?
This is before I knew Foley was going to be in there, I thought this was going to be a pretty obvious Strowman win. But I've just got a feeling that Roman's going to end up screwing Strowman out of it, so I'm going with Roman Reigns to win.
I can see something like that going down. Like they seem to be doing something strange with Mick Foley here. Obviously, he was kind of the weakened general manager back in the day. We haven't seen him since then, so who knows what's going to go down? Really, how do you feel about this one, Sam?
Yeah, I think Roman's going to win this one. I just feel like at the minute it's sort of like after All In has happened, the WWE are just saying like, oh yeah, but we've got Triple H, we've got The Undertaker, we've got Shawn Michaels, we've got Mick Foley. You haven't got any of that.
That's interesting.
And I just feel like that's what it's like at the minute. We've Bella Twins. Like, everybody's sort of like coming back. And, it's, you know, it would be awesome, but apart from the fact that they're all about 90-year-old.
It's strange, isn't it, the way they highlight huge stars from the past. And as you saw with The Undertaker returning, he did get a huge pop, like one of the biggest I've heard for a long time. But it's not something that can last, really, is it? It's not something that's...
Was the pop for The Undertaker, or was it for the potential of The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels?
A bit of both, I think, in my opinion. But like I said last week in Good Cop, Bad Cop, it's going to be Taker Michaels at WrestleMania.
You really think so?
I'm gonna put my reputation as a predictor on the line for that, yeah.
You know what? That's got me shaking in my boots.
Do you know what's funny about this, though? The fact that The Undertaker's pretty damn decrepit, but compared to Shawn Michaels, he can't even walk.
It's true, he's had a lot of injuries build up over the years. Undertaker's, you know, as we've seen, his performance has pretty much deteriorated, not to kind of speak ill of him or anything like that, but, you know,
You know what, The Undertaker's match against John Cena was pretty damn okay.
Why was it okay? I think it was okay because it was very short and it gave you everything you want from a Taker match. Kind of circa like the 90s, where he used to have those short kind of, you know, main event matches when he wasn't working the harder styles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a real head-scratcher for me with the whole Shawn Michaels thing. Anyway, that's kind of beside the point on this match. But, yeah, excellent points there. I think Roman Reigns, just because I think they continue that momentum, I think with the whole Shield thing, I just feel... like they're not taking the title off him just yet. Although, as much as I would have wanted Braun to win before, when it felt like he was a bit more of a face character, I just can't see him taking that belt just yet. So, yeah. Okay. next one, I got Charlotte Flair, champion, versus Becky Lynch. So, I think there's been an incredible build to this one. I don't know about you, Matt. How do you feel about this match, and who do you think is going to pick up the win?
One of the best built feuds on the roster at the moment.
Yeah, man.
And I want to say Charlotte because I want this feud to keep going and Becky to keep chasing. But to quote your boy Sam here, Becky Lynch or Wee Riott.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I feel like everyone's getting behind Becky, even though constantly every week it feels like the WWE is trying to swing it in Charlotte's favor. You know, in terms of the whole fan reaction, it's not really working, so I don't know who they're really positioning as face and heel here. How do you feel about this one, Sam?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that's making me want to riot at the minute. I feel like Charlotte's going to win this one.
You do?
And I feel like it's going to totally swing around like what I was talking about for weeks and weeks on end, and Charlotte's going to be the baddie.
Okay.
And it's going to be excellent, and that's how it should be.
So that works as a double turn in effect, doesn't it? Kind of throwing it back to Bret Hart versus Steve Austin, that kind of thing.
But
so
bearing in mind, we're going to keep Becky as the badass last kicker that she is, but we're also going to turn Charlotte because face Charlotte does not work at the minute, I don't think.
That's true. That's true, because we all know the fans are behind Becky. And I agree with you guys. I'm hoping Charlotte Flair picks up the win here, because as to Matt's point, I would love for Becky to keep chasing that title. It seems like the feud needs to kind of keep going. This is the next one we're going to talk about, guys, and this is the one I feel needed to be in the Hell in a Cell, because it's by far the most personal feud. AJ Styles, current champion, versus Samoa Joe. How are you feeling about this one, Matt?
If it was inside the cell, I'd say Samoa Joe. Standard match, still Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
But it's at the same time, I'm saying it, but I'm almost having to talk myself into it. Because Samoa Joe, every time he's had a title opportunity on the main roster, he somehow comes up short.
Strange, and isn't it?
It's really weird. I mean, I've seen a lot of Impact, but I know that when they were in Impact together, those two tore the house down.
Yeah.
And the match was good at SummerSlam, but it wasn't as good, in my opinion.
No, I get what you mean, and it felt like a bit of a muted ending, even though we got quite a satisfying... It was a satisfying but muted ending, but yeah. I can't help but feel like these guys are working magic at the moment, because we've had so many dream matches, which I feel like this is kind of sink a bit lower than we thought. The AJ Shinsuke, for example, I'm not sure how you felt about that one, Matt, but I think me and Sam kind of felt like that feud went on for a while, and it never really reached any kind of crescendo. It didn't get to the heights we thought. So this one feels like it's building to that kind of thing. I don't know if you saw SmackDown this week and saw Samoa Joe's backstage promo.
I saw it. You can hear my comments about it on Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so tune into Match Show to hear more about that. All I'll say is Samoa Joe reads AJ a nursery rhyme storybook type thing, and it's a pretty great promo. So tune into that one. How do you feel about this match, Sam?
I think that AJ Styles is going to retain.
You do?
I do, yeah. And I feel the reason for this is because I want the feud to go on longer. I feel like if Joe wins the belt here at what I would consider to be a lesser pay-per-view, it's not going to mean as much as when he inevitably wins it at Survivor Series.
So you're putting that one down. You're doing Survivor Series predictions right now. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Something. Is the super showdown in Australia, isn't that meant to be AJ? Is it Samoa Joe as well?
It certainly is. Super Showdown is acting as that kind of... So the show that was in, Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
That was quite a repeat of the WrestleMania card, wasn't it, as far as I saw? This seems to be a repeat of the current feuds as well. So we are getting AJ versus Samoa Joe again. So whether or not that...
It's unlikely the title will change hands there. So it's going to change anywhere. It'll be here.
Okay. Yeah, so either it changes here, and it doesn't change on the Super Show, and then it changes the Survivor Series. So it's either way, really. And I'm hoping at some point Samoa Joe put that title, because he faced off against Brock Lesnar, am I right? Came up kind of short there, and it was just, I don't know, I'm just hoping Joe gets a satisfying conclusion here, because I watched his show on the WWE Network, the Samoa Joe Chronicle, and... I can't think of a more real character on the roster right now. Like, this guy is.
I love Samoa Joe. Do you know what I think is going to happen? I think Samoa Joe is going to collaborate with Drake Maverick, a.k.a. Rockstar Spud, and he's going to send him down to Gainesville, Georgia, to AJ Styles' house to steal the belt and bring it back, just like he did in TNA.
Really? So that happened with Rockstar Spud in TNA?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think I missed that one, but that'd be a sneaky opportunity. Considering that Drake Maverick is currently stood between two absolute giants. I don't know, but yeah, that's a cool one, man. You guys ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Do it.
Right, so Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, and this one is inside a Hell in a Cell, which I don't personally feel like it should be. How are you feeling about this one, Matt?
All of my senses are telling me Orton's going to win this.
Okay.
However, I'm going to channel my inner Graham Bagshaw here and go for a Hardy boy.
Okay.
Because partially, if I don't, I'm never going to hear the end of it. But I also think he's meant to be the extreme enigma. Well, in Hell in a Cell, he can let loose.
Yeah, that's
Jeff
true.
Hardy to win.
I mean, has Jeff been in a Hell in a Cell match before?
never been in Hell in a Cell. Never.
He hasn't. Okay. No. So this is a special moment for Jeff. Technically, I'd like to see that. Yeah. How are you feeling about this one, Sam?
We're going to see a massive spot monkey spot, aren't we?
You think?
Yeah.
Right.
I think Jeff Hardy's going to win, and my super prediction for this one is everybody's like laying down in the ring. Jeff's like been decimated by the evil, sadistic Randy Orton. All the lights go out, and then Brooke and Matt Hardy returns to help his brother Nero in this terrible situation, and everyone's really happy at the end.
Okay, that sounds plausible. That definitely sounds like something that could happen. We haven't seen Matt for quite a while.
I would love to see that. Especially seeing as how White's doing at the moment, I would say perfect. Even if it's just Matt Hardy on the outside, with Bray teaming with Jeff for it. The spot monkey thing makes me feel that Jeff's going to try and do a swanton off the top of the cell, which would be suicidal, obviously. But that's something you do in a video game. You can't. Surely Jeff can't try it in Hell in a Cell.
He will.
Well, I for one don't want to see that. What with the injuries people put each other through these days, enough is enough, really. But I think if someone like Shane McMahon's going to come back and do it, then why not Jeff Hardy?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Vince will probably be thinking that. Why not Jeff Hardy? You know, he can handle another surgery or whatever it's going to be.
He mentioned in his promo that he is the Daredevil as well. But he's also mentioned in recent promos there's been a lot of like little throwbacks to the Broken gimmick as well.
Yeah, he did the whole I'll defy the an obsolete thing. I can't remember the rhyme from TNA. You know, but he did that. He did that on SmackDown this week. So
yeah. There's also a lot of
hint towards
delete motions as well, isn't there?
Yeah. My only concern with Jeff trying the swanton off the top of the cell, which would be amazing to watch and would probably be the best moment we see all year, is that if memory serves me correctly, the last four times someone's tried to do a move off the top of the cell, they've been the one that lost because they missed. Because the other person's already moved out of the way. So, Jeff goes for it. We know straight away that Orton's going to get out of the way and he's going to land on a crash mat. Orton's going to get the free count. We know that will happen if that happens.
I think if this does happen, Orton has to move out of the way because I don't think there's any sort of safe way that can possibly land on, he can land on Randy Orton.
It's a strange thing that this pay-per-view comes around once a year and it seems like they are requiring bigger and better moves every year now. When this pay-per-view comes around because of the legacy, obviously, especially involving Mick Foley this year as well. Who knows what's going to go down in that match. But I'd like to think Jeff picks up the win without injuring himself too bad here.
He's indestructible. He's indestructible.
Okie doke. Well, on to the next one. I've got to say, I haven't really paid much attention to this feud. Maybe you have, Matt. New Day versus Rusev Day. How are you feeling about that one?
I've been looking forward to this one purely because if you listen to last week's episode, we actually discussed the spoilers that were going around about how the Bar were meant to be challenging for the titles here.
Right.
So it didn't make a difference about what happened this week on SmackDown. So when I saw Rusev Day, and I was pleading that this rumor was going to be wrong. So when I saw Rusev Day win it, I thought Aiden English had been taking bullets for him the last few weeks.
Yep.
I've got a funny feeling. Aiden English is going to cost them the tag team titles here. But at the same time, I want Rusev Day to win, so I'm picking Rusev Day. And that's me probably making a mistake there, but I'm picking Rusev Day to win.
I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think Rusev Day deserves a win, if anything. Pick up a bit of momentum for themselves. I felt like the whole Aiden English costing them matches was maybe behind them. But if this was to happen in this one, I feel like that would be kind of the ultimate. And Rusev might cast him aside after that. Regardless, I love watching the New Day in tag matches as of late. They've been putting on awesome matches with people like The Bar and many others, and I just love it when their matches come around. It's going to be fun. What do you think about this one, Sam?
I think that Rusev's been chucked into another stepping stone match, like much like what he did was with AJ Styles. I feel like there's no doubt that the New Day are going to retain here. The team that should really have been facing the New Day was The Bar, but I think that's still going to happen at some point. So again, I think that Rusev Day here is just a stepping stone. And yeah, Aiden English is probably going to spoil it for them.
It's a real shame though, isn't it? Because obviously Rusev has needed to be that stepping stone for a lot of wrestlers, but here, the New Day have been together quite a while. They don't really need that. But I feel like maybe they're the more, not the more popular team, but the team that they want to put.
Do you know what? I think I've actually come up with exactly what's going to happen.
Lay out.
Aiden English isn't going to ruin it for them. Lana's okay. Going to turn.
On Rusev?
On Aiden English.
Okay, so how do you see that playing out then?
So he goes up to the top rope to do the dropkick or whatever he's going to do, and Lana runs up and pushes him off and then claims to Rusev that it was his mistake or something like that to get him out of the group. Because obviously wrestlers don't watch matches back and don't watch any wrestling on TV whatsoever, so he'll never know the truth.
That is bizarre when you think about it, but you're right on that, Sam, absolutely right.
Yeah, maybe in the old school where they definitely don't watch matches back these days.
And when they do watch TV, right, when they do watch TV, they are standing sideways.
Yeah, that's true, man. This is some in-depth commentary, man. You need to write a book on the real goings on in wrestling. But yeah, I think we got some good points there on that one. Next one's fairly important for the females wrestling at the moment: Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. How are you feeling about that one, Matt?
Ronda Rousey playing the talent at ringside. Alexa Bliss will have Fox and Mickie James at ringside. Even with that, Ronda's going to win this. Mm-hmm. And because of the reason why we know this is because we know the card for Evolution.
Oh, this killed me. See, I saw the card for Evolution and I thought, hopefully it's subject to change. Hopefully, I'm just praying here. Mm. But I don't feel like it is. I feel like WWE are doing that more than often these days. They did it with a lot of things that have been spoiled for us before, right, yeah. Sam? Where kind of tournaments or matches have been spoiled for us by seeing stuff online. And I feel like this is another example where the card's been leaked. You look at it and you think, ah, Ronda Rousey, she's picking up that win because she's needed that Evolution to be the champion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's annoying because, I mean, yes, card is subject to change, of course. But, I mean, would you rather watch Ronda versus Nikki Bella? No. Or would you rather watch Alexa versus Lita? Alexa versus Trish, that, isn't it? So my bad. Alexa versus Trish, I'd rather see that.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. I mean, Trish can still go. Out of all the ladies that appeared in the Women's Royal Rumble, she looked the best by far, I think, in terms of still having it and still having kind of...
It's all about you.
Yeah, you can imagine, man. Yeah, she's proper kept herself in shape. She's kept up the stamina and stuff, and she could clearly have a good 15-minute match, I think, if she came back. So I'm looking forward to that happening. Sam, what do you think about this one?
I think Ronda's going to win this one. I think it's been set up with the Ronda injury this week that this match might go a little bit longer than 5 minutes, which you would be expecting. But Ronda Rousey's going to pick up the win, and then Alexa can move on. It's unfortunate, really, because the more and more I watch Ronda Rousey, the more and more I'm really beginning to dislike this whole thing. And I dislike her, and I dislike her outfit. I dislike her music. I dislike her boo-boo face. And
see, there was a point where you were kind of coming around to her. Like, maybe a couple of weeks, I remember. That's gone away again.
No, yeah, she's just too unstoppable. And it doesn't work. Okay. It can't work in wrestling. Especially not when you've got people like Mickie James, who's got, like, you know, like, almost 20 years experience, losing to someone who's been doing it for 10 minutes. And it doesn't feel right for me. It doesn't ring right for me. This isn't MMA. This is pro wrestling. And she should have been brought into it a little bit more like Shayna Baszler. Because I love Shayna Baszler. But I can't stand Ronda Rousey.
It's strange, isn't it? The stark difference between the way that those two have both been written for or have kind of emerged and made the transition between MMA and wrestling. Shayna started off fairly slow, didn't quite win that Mae Young Classic. Obviously, Kairi Sane picked up the win, but she picked up steam so fast. She got the business so fast. I think Ronda's got it, but it's just the way she's been booked, like you say. So it's a strange one. It's a real strange one. And last but not least here, we've got Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Matt, how are you feeling about this match, dude?
I don't don't know how I feel about this match. This is going to sound really odd, but there's too many champions in this match.
Yeah, okay.
Because Seth Rollins has already got the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
I don't like people having double champions. I've never been a fan of that, to be fair. Right back to when I was a kid. But is Dean Ambrose going to actually be the champion still?
I have no idea what's going on with this one. It feels like Dean's just come back, and I don't feel like I quite know. I've mentioned to Sam, I don't quite know what he is in coming back. He was that lunatic fringe, and he was a bit wacky. It feels like he's come back as this super serious guy. Doesn't really get much mic time anymore, though. No. So I'm not really... I don't really get what he is. And no. The Shield thing has been good, but it's, again...
But in the same time, I'm also saying... Ambrose and Rollins are probably going to win this.
Okay.
Primarily because they seem to, after having their Sheriff Ambrose, having Corbin Carroll, pretty much, I'm pretty sure that they're going to win this, and then they're going to have McIntyre and Ziggler chase them.
Yeah, I mean, that's plausible, for sure. I for one, would really like to see Dolph and Drew pick up the win here, because I don't want them to lose the title so soon, but they are the heels in this one. They've been pretty despicable, their actions with Braun Strowman, so maybe that's what's going to happen. What do you think about this, Sam?
I think Dolph and Drew are going to win this one, for the sole reason, you mentioned the titles there, Matt. I think Seth needs to continue defending the IC title, which is not being defended, which sucks, because when he was defending it weekly, it was brilliant. Also, we've got the US title that's just disappeared into the abyss along with Shinsuke Nakamura. So, yeah, Dolph and Drew are going to retain here, and they're probably going to retain by cheating, but they will retain all the same.
Okay, yeah. I mean, either way, These two teams are pretty fantastic. I love the Dolph and Drew thing at the moment. The Shield thing we've seen before. We've seen him hold the titles, so that's not going to be really anything new. Like I said, I'm hoping Dolph and Drew kind of keep going with this, but I don't know. I'm just looking forward to the pay-per-view. It's a pretty stacked card. I think we've got some really interesting predictions going on here. So yeah, thanks for joining us, Matt, on this one, and we will be back after the break with our most over segment.
Over like Rover. Oh yeah, dig it.
Welcome back, folks, and this is our most over segment. Usually it would be Sam and I picking our two most over wrestlers from this week, but as with our previous section, we are joined by Matt from the Matt Attack, and he's going to help us out this week. So, Matt, who is your most over this week?
Well, there was many I could choose from, my most over this week is Mick Foley.
Wow, man. Why is that?
That promo he did on Raw. No one knew he was going to turn up. The pop he got, also at no point in that promo did I think, I don't want to see more of this. I want to see more of Mick Foley. And he's over with everyone. Always has been. Even when he put with a heel, everyone loved him still. Yeah. So that's why he's my most over this week.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that promo was fantastic. It was slightly strange that he was cutting it on Elias when it was about Braun and Roman, but nonetheless, that guy came back and you could tell that he'd missed being away and he really wanted to deliver something special. So, yeah, couldn't agree with you more. What a great choice. Sam, who is your most over this week?
Right. Similar to you, I've been really struggling with this one this week, but inspired by Matt's most over choice, my most over this week is The Undertaker.
Sweet. Okay, so we got a bit of a veteran theme going on. And why's that?
Because The Undertaker is over and will always be over, and no matter what The Undertaker does, is going to be over. Because although his wrestling skills are not what they used to be, his entrance skills will always be over with me.
Hell yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
That moment when he comes down, I mean, I think he could be doing that in 10 years from now, and that entrance just sells itself.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Not... I can't say I've ever been there.
Have you guys ever been lucky enough to actually witness it in person?
I have witnessed The Undertaker in person, but unfortunately I witnessed The American Badass.
I was very fortunate in 2009 to be at SmackDown when he came out, and it's still with me today. It's still my favourite moment in over 20 years of watching professional wrestling. My favourite moment was just seeing Taker walk down that aisle.
I can imagine.
The music playing, the fog everywhere. It was amazing. Sam, hats off to you, mate.
That's, yeah, you guys are buffed in Taker. I haven't, I've been lucky enough to see Bret the Hitman Hart when he came over in 2010, and that was something special, but I think seeing The Undertaker is just that number one thing all wrestling fans want to do, so.
I'll tell you a little extra side story with that one. The time I saw The Undertaker was Rebellion Sheffield, and as me and my dad were pulling up to park up, The Undertaker was actually riding around the car park on his motorbike. True story.
No way.
True story.
That is cool, man. That's exceptionally cool. Seeing the American Badass ride on his hog. That's cool.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and true. Awesome. I'm not lying.
Of course.
I believe you.
You can ask my dad if you don't believe me.
Awesome. Well, those are two awesome choices. I felt like I needed to go with a veteran after what you guys have said, but I can't help but feel a certain way about Braun Strowman at the moment, and he's my most over, because I feel like just as well as he adapted to being a face and transitioned from that kind of Wyatt family role, he has again transitioned so seamlessly into this heel role. And I think I'm starting to get the feeling the fans are also buying him as a heel as well, and starting to dislike him as he's backed by obviously Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. So I love what he's doing at the moment. I gotta say, I wanted him to be a face. Me and Sam have had discussions about this for ages, but I'm more than happy with what he's doing. So Braun Strowman's mine.
I think that's a great. I think Braun Strowman is the most over on Raw at the minute, isn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, Strowman, I didn't want him to be turned heel, but they did it perfectly well. They did it the right way about it, and the fans have bizarrely got behind it.
Yeah, they planted the seeds, which is what you need. You need that hinting before it happens rather than it just happening cold, because I think that's what wrestling fans dislike about the current product, where things just happen. Like, they just happen cold, and you're like, well, I thought this was happening, but now this is happening. But they did this right with Braun, and I'm glad you guys agree with that one, because, yeah, awesome.
I'll tell you something, this is going to be a really odd poll when I put it on Twitter.
I think I am already on the losing end, but I really don't mind. I kind of get the feeling I know who's going to win. Although, out of you guys' choices, I don't know. Because you guys, I don't know whether you actually realize this, but you've themed it around Hell in a Cell.
I was just thinking that in my head, like, Hell in a Cell match.
You guys have themed it around Hell in a Cell, so well done. Well done on that one. That was a pretty subtle placement.
Awesome. Wizard.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for helping us out with most over in our predictions. It's been a lot of fun having you on. Where can people listen to your podcast, and where can they find you on social media and whatnot?
Right, okay. Take notes, people. There's quite a lot here. Right, you can follow me personally at the Matt Attack UK. You can follow the podcast I do, the Good Bad Good Cop Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast with Graham Bagshaw. You can find that at Good Bad Wrestle. You can find all the shows that I'm on the Visionaries Wrestling Network, which is at BizWrestleNet, and they usually come out on a Thursday and a Friday. So you can catch them at the same time as you catch Is It Over Yet?
Absolutely fantastic. Well, everyone go and check out Matt's show. Go and check out Matt and Graham's show. They are absolutely fantastic. Must listen to podcasts. And yeah, thanks for coming on, Matt. It's been an awesome show.
Cheers, Matt.
It has been an absolute pleasure, boys. I'll have you back at some point soon.
I look forward to it.
Toodle pip.
Question time.
All right, folks, and welcome back. We got a special section this week, and it is question time. So this isn't not some political show on BBC Two or anything like that. This is questions from you guys from Twitter. So thank you for submitting them. And Sam, fancy reading out some questions, and we will do our best to answer them.
I will indeed. Right, so this first question is from RJ Krasinski of the Ringside Rant, which is @_ringside rant. Now, he asks, What old school wrestlers would you want to follow on social media?
Okay, that's an interesting one, man. I mean, as of late, we've seen The Undertaker appear on Instagram. Slightly strange, posting old school pictures of himself. Whether or not it's the actual Undertaker doing it, I have no idea. That's pretty cool. I gotta say, you know, it'd have to be some wrestlers from the past, really, that you'd want to, like, some. I can't really think. Like, people like DDP, I'd love to follow him. I haven't actually got him followed, because the guy's an inspiration. The DDP yoga thing is with so many people. So, anybody like that, really. Anybody that's still doing something really important and contributing to other people's lives, making a difference. So, yeah. What about you, dude?
I would really want to follow Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Oh, wow. Okay, Conrad Thompson would be pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I really found that difficult to say that without saying the bit in between.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like after hearing his story, I think he's had a really incredible past. So
crazy life, right?
Yeah,
lots of accidents, lots of awesome recoveries.
Oh, my God, that accident. Oh, God. If you ever listen to that episode... Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You used to not want to call him Brutus the effing Beefcake anymore. Brutus the Barber effing Beefcake. You want to be like, Brutus.
Brutus,
are you all right, man?
The legend Beefcake.
Yeah, the guy's killer. Yeah, awesome.
Okay, so I've got another question here, and this is from Mason of the MGB Wrestling Podcast, which is
awesome.
which is at MGB Wrestling Pod. Now, Mason asks, who were your favourite wrestlers when you were 10 years old, like me?
Okay, so that's an easy one for me, because that's pretty much the time that I was first getting into wrestling. So I got to go with the obvious. I was so into The Undertaker. The guy was such a legend back then. You had no idea what he really was, whether he was dead, whether he was alive. They sold it as if he was dead. He had casket matches. He used to put people in body bags. Just back then, when you were 10 years old, The Undertaker was just as he is now, but, you know, it was something else back then. He was a real spectacle. And, yeah, it's really left a massive impression on me. And I think he was probably the first thing that made me love pro wrestling. So, yeah, what about you, dude?
Back when I was 10, it was 1996. And that only really reminds me of one person, and that is Jake the Snake Roberts.
Wow.
And I know Jake the Snake was on his way out at this point. You know, this was the point where there was the whole King of the Ring thing with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think this was the passing of the torch between Jake and Stone Cold. But I do fondly remember fighting with my mate over wanting to use the Jake the Snake figure when we had our own wrestling matches in his bedroom.
Yeah, man, I mean, Jake was still awesome. He still had a great mind for the business. He was wearing a crazy vest or waistcoat type thing back then, and he had a different snake, which was, I think, called Revelations, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The white one. So, still pretty badass. Yeah, Jake rocked.
Yeah. Okay, so this is our final question, and this is from Mags and Bags Again, which is at DEJ Kirkby.
Okay, what we got?
We get a lot of things from this guy. This guy is awesome, by the way. This guy is a really big IIOI fan. Now, he asks, with All In Hangover being real, what in the world of wrestling is most interesting to you?
There's so much that is interesting in wrestling right now. I mean, to name a few, you got the Women's Revolution, which is just, you know, it's been picking up steam for years, but you're seeing so many amazing female wrestlers, not to mention the Mae Young Classic. It's just great that they're finally getting this exposure as equals, really. Absolutely love it. But all in all, I'm just loving seeing wrestling just like kind of blossom as this big thing, this almost independent thing. You know, no one's rebelling against the WWE, but they are seeing that they can do stuff outside and still make money. It's great. That's probably my favourite thing right now. What about you?
I've got lots of favourite things at the minute. There's a lot of favourite things that are away from the WWE. I think my favourite thing at the minute, what I'm most into, is Lucha Underground.
Okay, that's an excellent choice, man. I mean, very consistent.
Yeah, it's really close between Lucha Underground and £10 of Gold, but as far as being more content, yeah, Lucha Underground is the most interesting thing to me at the minute.
Okay, and what? Why do you feel like is? Why do you feel it is the most interesting?
Pentagon Dark.
Yeah, man. Anything with that guy. This is the reason we. I mean, the reason we don't want him to go to WWE, you know, it's because we want to see him everywhere else.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Excellent question. Okay, well, thank you everyone for submitting questions. We'd like to make this a regular feature, I think, wouldn't we? Because it's nice to hear from people. It's nice to kind of, you know, answer people's questions. I kind of like it.
Me too. I do like that idea.
Excellent. Well, we will do it more often. So people, please hit us up on Twitter. That is twitter.com/IIOI podcast. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you very much. All right, folks, this has been an awesome episode of the Is It Over Yet Wrestling podcast. Thank you very much to Matt from the Matt Attack for joining us for those two sections. Things are going to be a little different from now on. We're going to come to you fortnightly. And on the next show, which will be 2 weeks from now, we got a special guest, haven't we, Sam?
We have. We have another guest. And this time it's going to be Danny from Press Start Gaming.
Awesome stuff, man. So we're going to have some chats with him about wrestling games, that kind of thing. Yeah?
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to that. And yeah, thank you for joining us on the Is Over Yet Wrestling podcast. Don't forget to check us out on social media. So that's twitter.com/IIOI podcast, facebook.com/IsItOverYetPod, instagram.com/IsItOverYetPod. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and Spotify. And that's IIOI Wrestling podcast. What else you got for us, Sam?
And of course, please don't forget to check out the Win Column Sports Network at WCSportsCA.
Awesome stuff. Well, please join us in 2 weeks' time for another awesome IIOY podcast, and we will see you then. Take care.
Toodle-pip.